this morning, what better way to get into the Christmas spirit than to go to the book of Hebrews? That's where we'll be starting in Hebrews chapter number 1. Hebrews chapter number 1, and you have to keep me in control that I just read the first three verses and then move on to the Gospel of Matthew. Because if you haven't read the book of Hebrews, you really need to do so. It shows the sufficiency of the promised only begotten Son to the nation of Israel, and he was a fulfillment of the Old Testament prophecies concerning the Messiah or the Christ. So verses 1 through 3 of chapter 1 says, God, I can stop right there and say, there it is, that's the whole message right there. God, we don't need anything else, but God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, or the universe.
Right. Amen.
Who being the brightness of his glory, and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high. Dear gracious Father, we are thankful for your word today. We're so thankful that the entire Bible points to your Son, Jesus Christ. And we're so thankful that we have the prophets to look back to. And then we have the New Testament that we can look forward to, the only begotten Son of God. And we do pray that you would help us to learn and grow in his image and his likeness. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So we have here, it says, hath in these last days. What are the last days? Many people believe we are in the last days, and I would say amen and amen and amen. But also the writer of Hebrews, of the book of Hebrews, said, these are the last days. The Apostle John in 1 John said, these are the last days. So the last days have technically been with us since Jesus Christ ascended back into heaven, back into the glory where verse number 3 says, all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins. That's the work of the cross. Nothing else. No other way of purging your sins but through Christ himself. He purged or cleansed us from our sins. Then when he purged our sins, he sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high. Yes, it is finished. Christ cried from the cross of Calvary, and today we can benefit from that by looking back at his once for all gift of salvation. I'd have to remind you, if we wanted to go further on into the book of Hebrews, if we were to read Hebrews 8, 9, and 10, there's one key word through those three verses that we all need to know. It's a fancy word, but it's only one syllable. Once. After he purged our sins, once. Once. If you look at that throughout the book of Hebrews, you'll see that there. Not any kind of sacrifice that we can make or anybody else but him, one time. In those sundry times, or in those different times in time past, he spoke unto the fathers by the prophets. See, that's what the New Testament writers had as well. They had the Old Testament. They also had the Word revealed to them by the Holy Spirit, which have been written down for us. He spoke it unto us in these last days by his Son. That is the message of Christmas. Jesus Christ. We often, especially nowadays, if you try to drive down the street near a shopping mall, you get stuck in a traffic jam. Try to go shopping on that, I guess it's a godforsaken holiday, we can call it now, Black Friday. You could get yourself killed over some junk Japanese product someplace. But Jesus himself came as a baby to live and to die for our sins. This is the essence of the Christmas holiday. And indeed, we must get back to it. So it's not just about saying Merry Christmas. It's about who the Merry Christmas is about. Now we're going to go over to John chapter 5 for a second. John chapter 5. Remember, Jesus, the subject of Jesus Christ is throughout all of the Scriptures. Yet, His own country, His own nation, His own countrymen rejected Him. And Jesus calls them right out in chapter 5 of the Gospel of John. Starting with verse number 31 in John chapter 5. It says, "If I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. There is another that beareth witness of me, and I know that the witness which he witnesseth of me is true. Ye sent unto John, and he bare witness unto the truth. But I receive not testimony from man, but these things I say, that ye might be saved. He was a burning and shining light, and you were willing for a season to rejoice in his light. But I have greater witness than that of John, for the works which the Father hath given me to finish, the same works that I do bear witness of me, that the Father hath sent me." So we see the purpose. Christ came, his works were a testimony to his own nation, to his own countrymen, that showed that it was the Father that sent him. And in spite of being accused of being of Satan or Beelzebub, Jesus correctly says, "My Father sent me. The works I do are to bear witness that I'm in my Father, and he's the one that sent me." Verse number 37. "And the Father himself, which hath sent me, hath borne witness of me. Ye have neither heard his voice at any time, nor seen his shape. Yet, what they had was the testimony of the prophets." They had the Torah. They had the entire Old Testament, that the central focus was Christ Jesus and his coming as Messiah. His coming as the anointed one of God. We go on further here. "And ye have not his word." Well, if we were to stop here, we'd be making a grave error. They had his word. Just as today, we have his word everywhere. You can find new Bibles, Go Bibles, Blow Bibles, all kinds of electronic devices. We have umpteen translations of the Bible. We have them in print, out of print, everywhere we go. So we have the word. They had the word in the Torah. They also had the word, not just in Hebrew of the Torah, they had the Septuagint, the translation of Hebrew into Greek at the time of the Old Testament. They were not short of the Word of God. What they were was short of understanding what the Word of God was about. He continues on here. He says, "And you have not his Word abiding in you, for whom he hath sent, him you believe not." In other words, God has sent Jesus, and you don't believe me. You don't believe because of the works. The only thing you follow me, if you go to the next chapter, the only thing you follow me for is because I provide a meal for you. Sounds just like modern Christianity. What's in it for me now?
Right.
"And you have not his word abiding in you, for whom he hath sent, him you believe not. Search the Scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life." Well, I follow the Ten Commandments. I follow the ceremonial law. I do this, I do this, I tithe, I do this. He says, "Yet, in them you think ye have eternal life." It's a tragedy today that many people think they have eternal life because they think they are good people. No, I actually saw a great, I'm almost afraid of saying this, there was a great discourse on The View that I saw. Now, you think the show The View, but there's one woman there that's a Christian. I can't think of her name, but I saw the clip and I was like, "Wow, you go get her, girl." They were talking about people and terrorism and all this and that. And Joyce Behar, is that her name, the host of that now? She said, "Well, shouldn't people just be good in their own sight?" And this other woman, whatever her name is, well, you have good on a sliding scale. What is good? And she was able to give the gospel.
Amen.
She said, Joyce, we have the Ten Commandments. You think you can follow them? Have you ever lied? Yeah, I think I've done that, but a little lie is okay. And then she said, you know, as a matter of fact, I covet as well. And so this woman said, you know, that shows you the fact that you need the Savior. Said it right on NBC or ABC a couple days ago, and she was right. How do we know we're good? Do we open up the Scripture and say, yeah, I follow that, and I follow this? Oh, yeah, I only, sometimes I do okay. But the point of the law was showing how much you need the Savior. And that's what Jesus is getting to here. Search the Scriptures. Or you search. You spend all your time in the Scriptures trying to find your own way. What's he say here? And they are they which testify of me. See, Jesus is the focus of Scriptures. Of His will, His mercy, His love. The focus of the Scripture is not me. It's not you. I heard a Christmas message. I knew I was in trouble hearing it. The title of it was Mary, like the Mother Mary, Mary Christmas. Spelled K-H-R-I-S-K. And the emphasis was on risk. You need to risk things. Right away I said, I don't need to risk anything. I need to put my full confidence and assurance on Christ, who wasn't taking a risk. That's the whole message. He was taking a chance. God was taking a chance sending Christ into the world. So you need to be like Jesus and take a chance. That's so off base, but yet it sounds so good to the undiscerning ear and mind. Christ never took a risk in coming to this earth. The Godhead knew exactly what he was doing.
Amen.
Amen. So you search the Scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. Let's go back to the book of Luke for a second. And I know this is Christmas time, but I want to point out something that was post-resurrection for a second. Luke chapter 24. A story we're all familiar with. Let's start with verse 13. And behold, actually, let's start with verse number 1. Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulchre, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre. And they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. That's good news right there, that he was risen. And it came to pass, as they were perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, Why seek ye the living one among the dead? He is not here, but he is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, and be crucified, and the third day rise again. So they heard Jesus saying it. They had the Old Testament saying the same thing. If you ever read Isaiah 53,
right.
He came to suffer. And they, post-resurrection, they remembered his words. And returned from the sepulchre and told all these things unto the 11 and to all the rest. It was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary the mother of James and other women that were with them, which told these things unto the apostles. And their words seemed to be them as idle tales, and they believed them not. Then arose Peter and ran unto the sepulchre. And stooping down, he beheld the linen clothes laid by themselves and departed, wondering in himself at that which was to come to pass. And behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 60 furlongs. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holden, or they were veiled, that they should not know him. They didn't recognize him. God providentially veiled them so they wouldn't recognize that it was Jesus right away, because he has a point to make with them. And he said unto them, what manner of communications are these that ye have one to another, as ye walk and are so sad? And the one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering, said unto him, art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? And he said unto them, what things? And they said unto him, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people. And how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre. And when they found not his body, they came, saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went into the sepulchre, and found it even so as the woman had said, but him they saw not. Oh, praise the Lord for that. He wasn't there. Then he said unto them, O fools, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. In other words, Jesus said the prophets through the years, through the Old Testament, right through John, spoke about this. You should know. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? This is my favorite part now. And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Yes, you want to hear a great story? Samson, or I should say David rather, didn't deliver you from a giant. That giant that was defeated was Satan. And David is a type of Christ in the Old Testament. Oh, I'd feel good if I could get my giant of debt eliminated. That would be so good, but it's not what it's about. It's the scriptures are about Jesus. And we have the blessing and the benefit today that we can have the New Testament, which expound upon the Old Testament. They work together. That Old Testament has, the glory has faded in it. You see that in 1 Corinthians. And yet there's a better glory in the person of Jesus Christ that we see. And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And they drew near unto the villages whither they went, and he made as though he would have gone further. But they constrained him, saying, abide with us. Now here was the key. They're saying, abide with us. Jesus had pointed out in John chapter 5 that it was the Word that didn't abide with them. But here's Jesus being invited to abide, the very risen Christ in the flesh, with these gentlemen. But they constrained him, saying, abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it and brake and gave to them. In other words, he's following the meal that would be normally shared, and they would recognize that they were talking about the coming Messiah at this time. And their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. So the breaking of the bread, where it clicked in their minds that this was the fulfillment of prophecy, that this was the Christ. And they said one to another, Did not our heart burn within us while He talked with us by the way? And while He explained or opened to us the Scriptures? That's the desired effect of the Scriptures, to know Christ. And they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered together and them that were with them. Now it's key, the next verse here, saying, "The Lord is risen indeed and hath appeared to Simon." And they told what things that were done in the way and how he was known of them in breaking of bread. And as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and saith unto them, "Peace be unto you." But they were terrified and affrighted, and supposed that they had seen a spirit. And he said unto them, "Why are ye troubled? And why do thoughts arise in your hearts?" Or doubts. Still doubting. "Behold, my hands and my feet, that is I myself, handle me and see. For a spirit hath not flesh and bones as you see me have." And when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they yet believed not for joy and wondered, he said unto them, "Have ye here any meat?" And they gave him a piece of broiled fish and of a honeycomb. And he took it and did eat before them. And he said unto them, "These are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me."
Amen.
So who were the prophecies about?
Yeah.
Who was the law about? Who were the Psalms about? They're about Jesus. They're not about Santa. They're not about the Apostle Paul. They're not about Peter. Then last of all, they're not about you. It's about Jesus. I almost started saying more about Jesus. And that's what the message of the prophets, through the message of Christmas, is all about. Let's finish up this chapter while we're in. "Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the Scripture." I'd like to say I'd love to go to the book of Nehemiah, but that would definitely take too much time. The prophets, they were without the law of God for the 70 years of captivity in Babylon, and they found the law. And Nehemiah and Ezra got up, made a pulpit. This is Nehemiah chapter 9, by the way. They made a pulpit, and they got on there, and they recited the law, and they made what it said clear. You know who Nehemiah points to? He points to Christ. You know who Ezra points to? He points to Christ and His faithfulness in bringing them through the captivity, as He will bring His nation through the great tribulation as well. But saints, fear not. Fear not the great tribulation. We will have tribulation. But the great tribulation, God will take His people who He knows, who have His name written upon their hearts and then on their heads.
Amen.
He'll take them out of the tribulation. Let me finish this chapter here. Verse number 46. So verse 45, "He opened their understanding, they might understand the Scriptures. And said unto them, Thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and rise from the dead the third day. And that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in His name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem." Men, repentance and remission of sins. You want the keys? You want the keys that Peter was given? It was repentance and remission of sins. That's the message. The message to repent from your sins, and the good news from doing that is that Christ paid for them to remit or purge your sins. "And ye are witnesses of these things." Yes, the apostles were witnesses of the very life of Christ, and they were given the they were inspired by God to write the New Testament based on that. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high, which would be the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter number 2. And he led them out as far as to Bethany, and lifted up his hands and blessed them. And it came to pass, while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and were continually in the temple praising and blessing God.
Amen.
Now that's the end of the book of Luke, but he continues in Acts chapter number 1. Right from the point of Christ going to heaven and having the angel said, "Why do you look up? This same Jesus is coming soon. He's coming back in the same manner as the prophets had said." Now, I want to turn to the book of Matthew for a second. Matthew chapter number 1. This is sort of the introduction to next week. This is actually going to be this week, but we've spent that valued time in the book of Luke here. It's amazing. One thing I've heard so often, I think I just said it a while ago, we don't have time to read the scriptures. That's what we need time to do. Paul told Timothy to pay heed to the public reading of the scriptures. But I want to just close in Matthew chapter number 1. And I won't read it. I just wanted just a couple facts about the Gospel of Matthew. I didn't write down these facts, so you might want to fact check them. Anything I say, check it out. Anything that you hear anybody say from a pulpit or on television, check it out. Have an open Bible and see what's true. The Gospel of Matthew, it's interesting because if we remember our history, who was the Gospel of Matthew written to? It was written to the Jews. The term prophecy or prophet is found 45 times in the Gospel of Matthew. Because the focus was believe what the prophets had said. Hence the genealogy in chapter 1 and then the birth of Christ, all in fulfillment of the prophets, of what they said. Matthew, 45 times the term prophet or prophets is used. The next closest is Luke. It's only 28 times that it's used there. So the focus of Matthew was on the Messiah of Israel. The fulfillment of the prophecies. So the prophets, they have spoken. The Old Testament have spoken. The focus and the final word that they spoke was Christ. In these last days, don't give heed to anyone that claims to be a prophet. Don't give heed to anyone that claims to be an apostle. Because Christ is the final word. Who are the scriptures about? All about Jesus. And that's where we look at the message of the coming Savior. The incarnation of Christ found in the prophets. And we are to, as Peter would say, that we listen to those prophets and pay heed to what they wrote, because their word is a more sure word of prophecy, even more so than Peter's own experience. Trust what they've written. Next week, if you want to do your homework in chapters 1 and 2 of Matthew, we'll be looking at some of the specific prophecies that are written in fulfillment. I think it'll be interesting. It'll be great with our songs. It'll combine with this unfolding of the prophetic message that the prophets gave. But today, remember this one thing. One once Christ came, once he suffered and died, he'll not be a repetition of Bethlehem again. It's a historical fact that happened once. There will not be another crucifixion of Christ. It happened once. Amen? We can't replicate those things. We can't spiritualize those things. But Christ has done those in fulfillment of the prophets. Amen? The message of the incarnation of Christ is that he came to be born of a virgin, to become a man, a perfect man, to suffer, bleed, and die on a cross on behalf of his people. His own people rejected him. So it became he suffered, bled, and died for all. Our answer is just to just believe. Put your faith in what he's done.
Amen.
Pay no heed to all kinds of fables and mythology, but only in what Christ has done. He's a living Savior. He went all through that, and he's seated, as we saw in Hebrews chapter 1, he's seated at the right hand of majesty today.
Right.
But he's coming back.
Amen.
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 He's coming back with wrath, judging the sinful world that we're in. And it won't be a wrath that a flood will take care of. It'll be with consuming fire. It'll be a fiery judgment. And yes, that's upon all that are like Joyce Behar, or whatever her name is, that thinks that she can be good without God. It's impossible. It's impossible to be good, period. Yet Christ paid the price for us. Believe the good news. We may have Christmas presents under our trees, if you have a tree or if you have presents. And whatever's in those gifts that you open up will more than likely be broken in a few days. But yet the gift of salvation is something that never goes away. If you merely believe the gospel. Amen.